Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. Theologian Henry Drummond, a contemporary of Mrs. Eddy's, published a book on love. The greatest thing in the world. She once said she had intended to write such a book herself, but Professor Drummond had done it so well that he had saved her the effort. The book is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in the Bible. He expounds how the spectrum of love has nine main, what he calls, ingredients: patience, kindness, generosity, humility, courtesy, unselfishness, good temper, guilelessness, and sincerity. He says these make up the supreme gift, the stature of the perfect man. I'm going to be taking the ninth and the last ingredient, sincerity. Rejoiceth in the truth. And through the readings of the Bible and Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy, discuss this aspect of love. This is what Drummond has to say on sincerity. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. For he who loves will love truth no less than men. He will rejoice in the truth, rejoice not in what he has been taught to believe, not in this church's doctrine or in that, not in this ism or that ism, but in the truth. He will accept only what is the truth with a humble and unbiased mind and cherish whatever he finds at any sacrifice. The sincerity of purpose, which endeavors to see things as they are, rejoices to find them better than suspicion feared. Let's begin our service by singing hymn 131. I am the way, the truth, the life, our blessed Master said, and whoso to the Father comes must in my pathway tread. Hymn number 131. Bible, 1 Corinthians. Love is patient and kind. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. 1 John. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Then Jesus spoke to them again and saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you. But he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. If you love me, keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me and will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, What is truth? Ephesians. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. 1 John. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. Psalms. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The truth is the center of all religion. It commands sure entrance into the realm of love. The Christ was the Spirit, which Jesus implied in his own statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I and my Father are one. This Christ, or divinity of the man Jesus, was his divine nature. The godliness which animated him. Divine truth, life, and love gave Jesus authority over sin, sickness, and death. His mission was to reveal the science of celestial being, to prove what God is and what he does for man. Jesus presented the ideal of God better than could any man whose origin was less spiritual. By his obedience to God, he demonstrated more spiritually than all others the principle of being. Hence the force of his admonition, If ye love me, keep my commandments. Our master taught no mere theory, doctrine, or belief. It was the divine principle of all real being which he taught and practiced. His proof of Christianity was no form or system of religion and worship, but Christian Science, working out the harmony of life and love. The divine principle of healing is proved in the personal experience of any sincere seeker of truth. He who understands in a sufficient degree the principle of mind healing points out to his students error as well as truth, the wrong as well as the right practice. Love for God and man is the true incentive in both healing and teaching. Love inspires, illumines, and designates and leads the way. Right motives give pinions to thought and strength and freedom to speech and action. Love is priestess at the altar of truth. Jesus cast out evil spirits or false beliefs. The Apostle Paul bade men have the mind that was in the Christ. Jesus did his own work by the one Spirit. He said, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." He never described disease so far as can be learned from the Gospels, but he healed disease. On this spiritually scientific basis, Jesus explained his cures, which appeared miraculous to outsiders. He showed that diseases were cast out neither by corporeality, by material medica, nor by hygiene, but by the divine spirit, casting out the errors of mortal mind. The supremacy of spirit was the foundation on which Jesus built. His sublime summary points to the religion of love. The disciples apprehended their master better than did others, but they did not comprehend all that he said and did, or they would not have questioned him so often. Jesus patiently persisted in teaching and demonstrating the truth of being. His students saw this power of truth, heal the sick, cast out evil, raise the dead. But the ultimate of this wonderful work was not spiritually discerned, even by them, until after the crucifixion, when their immaculate teacher stood before them, the victor over sickness, sin, disease, death, and the grave. The nearer a false belief approaches truth without passing the boundary where, having been destroyed by divine love, it ceases to be even an illusion, the riper it becomes for destruction. The more material the belief, the more obvious its error, until divine spirit, supreme in its dominion, dominates all matter, and man is found in the likeness of spirit, his original being. The broadest facts array the most falsities against themselves, for they bring error from undercover. It requires courage to utter truth, for the higher truth lifts her voice, the louder will error scream until its inarticulate sound is forever silenced in oblivion. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. This scripture indicates that all matter will disappear before the supremacy of spirit. The universe of spirit is peopled with spiritual beings, and its government is divine science. Man is the offspring, not of the lowest, but of the highest qualities of mind. Man understands spiritual existence in proportion as his treasure of truth and love are enlarged. Mortals must gravitate Godward. Their affection and aims grow spiritual. They must near the broader interpretations of being and gain some proper sense of the infinite in order that sin and mortality may be put off. Truth cannot be contaminated by error. The statement that truth is real necessarily includes the correlated statement that error, truth's unlikeness, is unreal. The question, what is truth, convulses the world. Many are ready to meet this inquiry with the assurance which comes of understanding. But more are blinded by their old illusions and try to give it pause. The efforts of error to answer this question by symbology are vain. Spiritual rationality and free thought accompany approaching science and cannot be put down. They will emancipate humanity and supplant unscientific means and so-called laws. Jesus acknowledged no ties of flesh. First in the list of Christian duties, he taught his followers the healing power of truth and love. He attached no importance to dead ceremonies. It is the living Christ, the practical truth, which makes Jesus the resurrection and the life to all who follow him indeed. Jesus demonstrated Christ. He proved that Christ is the divine idea of God, the Holy Ghost or Comforter, revealing the divine principle, love, and leading into all truth. There is no physical science in as much as all truth proceeds from the divine mind. Therefore, truth is not human and is not a law of matter, for matter is not a lawgiver. Science is an emanation of divine mind and is alone able to interpret God aright. It has a spiritual and not a material origin. It is a divine utterance, the Comforter, which leadeth into all truth. In the words of St. John, he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This Comforter I understand to be divine science. Through divine science, Spirit God unites understanding to eternal harmony. Truth and love enlighten the understanding, in whose light shall we see light. And this illumination is reflected spiritually by all who walk in the light and turn away from a false material sense. Truth, not error. Love, not hate. Spirit, not matter, governs man. Now let's have a few moments of silent prayer and then pray together the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let's sing our second hymn. It's hymn 39. I'll read the second verse. The light of truth to us display, that we may know and choose the way. Plant holy joy in every heart, that we from thee may ne'er depart. Hymn number 39. Again, and welcome to those that have joined us on the call-in line. We're so glad that you're there. I have one reminder this coming weekend. I can't believe it's already here. December the 22nd, our church is hosting Sunday School Christmas Program celebration. It will be at 2 o'clock. The doors will open at 1:45 for public seating. The Sunday school students will be sharing the Christmas story and singing and performing. So it'll be a fun time to have you all come and watch them and help celebrate the coming of our Christmas holiday. So hope you can make it then. Gloria has the microphone. So if you have things to share, make sure you hold the microphone nice and close to your mouth so everybody online can hear and everybody in the audience can hear. Now it's your turn.
I had a neat experience Tuesday. I was going to a school program that my granddaughter was in. And to get down from where the car was parked down the lane to where the auditorium was, it seemed like it was a good mile. And after I got halfway, I started to have a problem walking and making it the rest of the way. But I did. And went in and had a place on the bleacher right on the front row. And I was really skirming or whatever the word is, a little bit because of the discomfort. And about halfway through the first presentation by the orchestra, I didn't see this, but apparently a man that was sitting across the aisle on the other, just across the walkway, motioned to my wife to come over. And she went over and he said, "There's an extra chair here. You know, take this to him." And she did that, and the people behind me said that the chair would fit perfectly right up near the grandstand, where I had been sitting. But it didn't, the grandstand didn't have a back to it, didn't have a comfortable seat and all this and that. But they said it would not interfere with their vision whatsoever. So I sat there, and at some point, I guess I learned the story about how I got to the chair, and I could see the man across the aisle. So I went over and thanked him just profusely. What he had done was amazing. And I don't know if he completely understood me. He is a Mexican. I tried to make him understand that I was just extremely grateful beyond belief. And we parted, and I came back and sat in the chair. And there still was quite a bit of the program left. And I just kept feeling that my leg was getting better and better, less painful. It just pretty much, I felt, went away. And so I, at the very end of the program, I went back over to the man, and I told him that I thought that the qualities that he expressed by being willing to get my wife to do this and put have the chair available and recognize that it would be real helpful to me. He just kindness was what I thought the most. He was just so kind. And again, I don't think he quite understood. Well, what I told him was, I had this feeling that the reason my leg got better was because of the kindness he expressed. And I said it really, I think, had an effect on my well-being. I didn't mention healing, I didn't mention anything, but I just stated that I thought that what he had done was a big factor in how I was feeling. I don't think he quite understood all the words or the thoughts I was trying to get across. But he would accept, he really didn't want to accept congratulations or thank yous. He was very humble. It was just something I think he just did things like that. And but I told him that I thought it was related to what he had expressed. And I came back to my seat. I think I went back over one more time and thanked him. But it really was amazing. I got to say that I thought it was a Christian Science experience. And it really was to me. It remains that way. That's why I'm giving the testimony. But later in the evening, problem did come back, and but that didn't bother me. I was better than I had been, and I was just so grateful to this man for what he expressed, and he saw a need, and he really went forward to help resolve it. And I just felt that because I had had that experience, that it was related to his thought, which is the way Christian Science works. I just wanted to share that experience.
Thank you.
I feel so full of gratitude this evening, and I would just like to express how much the Wednesday evenings have meant to both my husband and myself. I was facing a very challenging situation this last Monday. Last week, I believe it was, the dialysis was the what was concentrated on, and I appreciate Jean sending me those citations that were read from the desk. And I have just pored over those. And so I have a friend, I mentioned it last week, that is in need of some help right now. And we're really her family. I thought her only family. But all of a sudden, there appeared another person that was helping her. And it didn't appear to me that she was having her, her motives were pure to do the best for our friend. So I called a meeting Monday of a lawyer that my friend and I had worked with, and then the other lady was working with a different lawyer. It seemed like we weren't on the same page at all. So the meeting was set up for this Monday, and I've really done a lot of prayerful work on it, as has my daughter. And so she took a half day, and my son took a half day, so we could all meet together with all the parties involved. And I called everybody just to confirm the meeting, and about probably an hour before the meeting, my lawyer, or the lawyer we had worked with, called and said that my friend had canceled the meeting. She called the people and canceled the meeting. So I sent a text to my children, and my daughter said, "Oh no, that's not going to happen. This is right. This is what we're supposed to be doing today, and we need to help, you know, our friend." So she went over and got her dressed, and I called everybody back, and we met at the lawyer's office. So when I went in, it was very tense, and it was obvious that we were on different pages at that point. And I just kept thinking about the different things that I had poured over, the thoughts of guilelessness and love and guidance from God. And to make a long story short, the meeting started in a very, very unpleasant way. And by the end of the meeting, it was full of love and people expressing love and everyone being on the same page. And I was so thankful for the way it went, because it certainly could have gone a different way. And at the end, the other lawyer came up to me and he said, "You know, this meeting kind of turned out to be a love fest, didn't it?" And I thought, oh, wow, that's just what, you know, I had hoped it would be. So I'm so grateful for that. I also want to mention that today, I appreciate the readings from the desk tonight, and it brings up another thought in my mind. I'm involved with a school that is, it's a charter but an innovation school, and it's down in a very challenging part of Indianapolis. And we have a lot of children that are going through an awful lot of challenges. And so the building the school was started by a friend of mine, and we used to teach together. We used to talk about the perfect school, how we could start the perfect school. And we both agreed that the school should be based on love, the expression of love. That's the premise. That's the foundation. We didn't know where the school was going to be. We didn't know anything about what it was going to look like at all. But we knew it had to be based on love. So this is now the fourth year for the school, and I'm on the board, and it's been an amazing experience. And so today, all the fourth and fifth graders went to Glendale. They opened it up special for the children to see Harriet Tubman. And it was so moving. You should hear a pin drop. The children, they were just, they really didn't miss a thing. And there were so many lessons in that movie about trust and Harriet Tubman's complete, total trust. And one of the ministers told her before she went out on all these journeys, fear is your enemy. The only fear you have is your, the only enemy you have is fear. And you always know that you're going through this journey with God, and God will lead you through this experience. And along the way, when there would be so many challenges, you'd think, oh my gosh, how's she going to do this? She would stop and she would listen. And God would tell her, even though they were going this way, God would tell her to go this way. And the people that were following her as she was doing the Underground Railroad said, but I thought we were going this way. Nope. Going this way, because she stopped and listened. And I thought, what a lesson that is for all of us to stop, even though we think, well, this is the way we should go, but we have to stop and listen, and God might tell us a different way to go. So I'm very, very thankful tonight for Christian Science. Very thankful.
Thank you.
The previous speaker talking about listening, and Mrs. Eddy says her definition of angels is God's thoughts passing to man. And there's so much in this week's lesson about Mary listened for the angel thoughts, Joseph listened for the angel thoughts, and shepherds heard the angel thoughts. And the interesting part is one studies what Mary Baker Eddy has to say about it. They were prepared. They were listening. They were ready for the message. And that just took a new meaning for me. I was serving in the reading room on Tuesday, and a young woman came in, and she was looking for a cover for a Bible, which isn't something that we have to offer. But in the course of having a conversation, I learned that she drives for one of the major delivery people, drives a great big truck, and is out in an area where, with the snows, it was challenging. And we talked about listening for God and praying. And as a result of our conversation continued, and she shared quite a story. Has a husband who only has one leg, and he's staying at home with two special needs children, one of which, she said, when the baby arrived, it was predicted that the baby would never walk and would never talk. And she shared that that little one is now 10 years old, and they were going to have to get a new walker for the child. But indeed, he is walking because he's growing. They were going to need to get a new walker. And also, he's making all kinds of sounds and communicating. And we talked about, in fact, I opened the full text and showed her the golden text in our lesson this week is, with God, all things are possible. And so we had a great conversation, and I did give her a couple of sentinels and pointed out, actually, I gave her a couple of sentinels before all this story came out, and had mentioned that, pointed to the part where there are healings. And that really appealed to her. And then this story of her experience unfolded in the conversation. But speaking of listening and being prepared, she was led to the Christian Science reading room and went away with two Christian Science sentinels. And Also, our parting words were that with God, all things are possible. And I offered the full text to her, but she said right now she's reading an inspirational book. She said, I'll be back. And so grateful that she was listening for angel voices to be led to the Christian Science Reading Room, and then God will guide. And how wonderful that she was receptive to accept the sentinels and to be eager to see them, and also the thought of that with God all things are possible. And we rejoice together about the progress of the little one. So I'm grateful to share how the reading room is meeting a need for our community, and we'll never be able to measure how far it takes someone, but I'm grateful for Christian Science. Thank you.
Thank you.
This week, we went to see a movie, which was very moving and very good, Mr. Rogers. And in that movie was a relationship, not Mr. Rogers himself, but a gentleman and his father. And one statement was made. They had an interesting, difficult relationship, interestingly enough. But anyway, the father at one point said to the son, you know, I've always loved you. And it brought to mind something that I had an experience. Years ago, my dad was extremely successful businessman, and his company was a trucking company, and he was there morning, noon, and night. And so my brother and I really hardly knew our father, and we saw him basically once a week because we went to bed before he got home at night, and he left early, early in the morning before we were even up, even when we were going to school. But every Sunday, we would go to a church together, and of course, we went to Sunday school, and then we would go to lunch, and then he would go back to the office. So in this movie was a relationship between this man and his father, and I wasn't close to my dad in any sense of the word, yet, of course, we loved each other. But anyway, long story short, I got up the last day of school this particular year, and I looked at my wife and I said, I'm going to Muncie to see my dad. And she said, Bill, this is the last day of school. You're pretty much a disciplinarian in that building. The kids are, you know, the teachers need you. Principal's going to depend on you being there. The kids will look, you know, I said, Marilyn, I am going to Muncie today to see my dad. And I said, I feel led to do that. And she said, you need to do that if that's the feeling you're having. So I went to Muncie. I got there and I walked in, and I was greeted by my mother. And I said, Mother, I've come to see Father. And she said, your father's God's perfect image and likeness. And there's not a thing wrong with him. And I said, and I believe that. But I want to visit with him. And she said, well, let's go to lunch. So we went to lunch, and we got back, and I said, now I'm going to go back and see Dad. And she said, Bill, and I said, Mother, I'm going back to see my father. So I went on back, and I got back there, and we had a help, and she was back there rubbing his back, and he said, Helen, go see if Sarah needs you. And anyway, she left. And I looked at Dad and I said, Dad, how you doing? And he sat up and he looked me straight in the eyes and he said, Bill, I want you to know I've always loved you. And I thought, okay, that means a lot to me, Dad. And I sort of teared up because we had never had any conversations of that nature. And I said, well, thank you. And anyway, we talked a bit, and then I left and came home, and my wife was sitting on the front steps outside, and I said, what are you doing out here? And she said, Bill, your father passed away a half hour ago. And I said, oh, my gosh. And she said, I'm so grateful you listened and followed what you felt was a message from God. And obviously it was. And I can't tell you how meaningful that afternoon was to me and how I've always cherished that memory. And ironically, in the movie, Mr. Rogers, this young man and his father had a different relationship. My dad and I did. They didn't have a good one, and we didn't have any. But this father said to his son, you know, I want you to know I've always loved you. And that brought to mind my own experience, and I thought, how powerful God is, and we need to listen and follow his directions and what we're being led to do. If we're praying and listening, we need to follow through on. So that was something that came to the surface for me again this week as a result of that movie. And then just, it's always been a special memory. So anyway.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to give a brief testimony, and it's just following up on what he said about always listening to what's being led for you. And I think we all get these thoughts a lot, and many times we go with it, and sometimes we go, oh, I don't have time to do that right now or whatever. I'm going to be a lot more diligent about listening to that from now on. I was going to meet some friends for breakfast yesterday, and they, you know how they had cleared the snow and everything. And I pulled up. I was supposed to get there at 9 o'clock. It was like 9 o'clock. I thought, boy, I better run in because they'll all be there. And as I got my purse and opened the door, I looked up, and here's this older woman. And she had a little whisk broom, those little things you used to have in your cars. They're a little tiny. They're like little miniature brooms. She was trying to get the snow off of her car, and she had on like heels, and you know, she just wasn't properly dressed. And I just was like, okay, I've got this big 3 foot long thing in my car. I've got to go help this woman. And so I did. And so I said, do you mind if I help you? And she goes, well, sure. Who are you? She said, what's your name? I said, no, I told her my name. And I just started cleaning it all off. And then she was like, well, do you live here? And I said, no, I was going to eat. And she goes, well, I think she couldn't figure out why I was doing it. But anyway, we talked and chatted for a little bit while I was doing all of this. And you know, it was just a nice lesson to stop rushing around in life. Everything will wait. If it's God's purpose that I'm supposed to do that, then it doesn't matter how late I am to go to the other thing or whatever that's going on. We need to put those things aside and just do what's right. And I don't think there's one person in this church that wouldn't do the same thing. And probably one person in Carmel that probably wouldn't want to do the same thing either, for that matter. But just it made me stop and give myself a quick lesson on listening. And then when Bill said that tonight, it made me even think about it even more. So thank you all for your testimonies tonight. And the man that helped Bob with the chair, you know, it's great. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank everyone for all their wonderful, wonderful testimonies tonight. Let's conclude our service by singing hymn number 236. I'll read the second verse again. From cannon and sword shape tillers of soil, no more let dire hate man's spirit despoil. Let truth be proclaimed. Let God's love be retold, that men of goodwill may their brethren uphold. Hymn number 236.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the listen line, 317-688-9898, 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.